I don't even know how to describe today, other than emotional.
Totally. And it just is reminding me of the last Raider game that they played at the Coliseum, part deux,
yep.
The second time that they left, and I was there with my kids, and we made it a point to go, and shout out Derek Petrak and Don and all the rest of the great people in the Bart lot, because I used to go to a Bart lot tailgate. Matt Steinmetz introduced me to this guy, Derek, and he had a group of people, about 100 people, in the Bart lot, and we would tailgate before Raider games. Sometimes I wouldn't even go to the game. I'd go down the street from where I lived, tailgate, and go back home and watch it. But on this day, I watched the Raider game, and the Raiders were battling, and I believe it went to overtime, and they were beaten by a guy named Gardner Minshew, ironically enough.
Oh.
The Shoe drove, I guess it would have been Jacksonville at the time, down the field.
Yeah.
I think the Shoe was quarterback of the Jaguars.
That sounds right, yeah.
Jaguars beat the Raiders in the final game at the Coliseum, and right in front of the black hole, too. And that was, it was already a sad day because it was the last Raider game, but that made it even a little bit sadder. So I'm hoping today goes better for A's fans.
Yeah, like we're really looking forward to talking to some people who were there, and I mean that both as dignitaries within the organization, attached to the organization, and also those who just have butts in seats right now. The floor is yours, and we're trying to connect with Larry Beal, and we're confident that we will here shortly. But in the meantime, that gives us an opportunity to go direct to you. 888-957-9570 is the number. What do you want to say? Let it out. Share it with us. The floor is yours. Theo in the East Bay. Hi, Theo. Thank you for calling.
Well, there it is. Thanks for having me on.
Thank you for calling.
Yeah, man, I just wanted to chime in. I know it's a sad day for A's fans. Just some memories I had of going to the Coliseum. Growing up in the East Bay in high school in the late 2000s, early 2010s, the thing to do as a high school kid would just be get on BART after school, playing hooky from school, and getting on the BART train, going to the Coliseum, and seeing A-Rod and Jeter play against the A's. You know, some games that you wouldn't get to see as a Giants fan. So yeah, that one of my memories is seeing them at the Coliseum, and that was the thing to do growing up in the East Bay, was just go catch some Warrior games or some A's games in Oakland. So definitely feel bad for kids nowadays not being able to do that. And you know, we'll talk later down the line of what Sacramento could be or whatever the future was. But definitely a sad day, sad for all the fans for the A's. And, just wanted to see what they got next up.
Theo, thanks. Yeah. I'm sorry, Theo. Did you have another thought? Go ahead.
No, that was it, man.
Okay. Here's yeah. One. Appreciate you.
Thanks,
appreciate
Theo.
You sharing. Listen, I think Theo's hitting on what the real big issue is. You know, I mean, and I think, Dibs, you were sort of earlier kind of trying to head this direction. Like, your angry days are over, or at least they've been pushed to the back of this story. For me, it's what Theo just said. So many of you, and we want this, I want you to share, like, so many of you are going to call and you're going to talk about what this did for you as a kid. And that's part A for me. That's amazing. And that's what the emotional part is. Because anytime we think about our memories, I'm sure it's why Steiny's face looked like it did today. He's turning 60, and you start going through the chapters of your life and thinking back. And there's no way for that to not be emotional. But this is probably part of what was really joyous for people when they look back. But even bigger than that part A is the part B, and it's the kids of the East Bay now. That's what my actual concern is. And look, there are people who grow up in all different parts of the country, and some have sports and some don't. So it doesn't mean that they're stunted or they're not going to make it. But it really, really stinks. I mean, when I think back not only in my time as a kid or the time that I spend now with my kids and the percentage of that is spent connecting on sports, especially now with the phones being the way they are, it is very, very difficult for a parent to connect with their kids. It is increasingly difficult. And this is one of the ways to do it. This is one of the ways it's easy to do it. And it's being taken away from the kids of the East Bay, and I find that to be a complete and total tragedy.
That's a great way to put it, because, you know, you think about yourself growing up in Foster City, and you were 20 minutes away from Candlestick, and I grew up in Marin, so I was probably 35 minutes from the Coliseum and 35 minutes from Candlestick, and we'd go to both, and you had both as an option. And further on down the road, now in the last 20 years, when the Giants had their shiny new ballpark and prices got, you know, accelerated and raised, and you could still go to A's games for a lot more of an affordable price. And so now that option is no longer going to be there. So for all fans, not only East Bay fans, but all fans with kids and families, you think the Giants are going to look at this and think, you know what, we need to have some low-price games for the East Bay.
Get out of here.
Prices are going to be even more expensive. Oh, yeah. So for all fans with, you know, families with kids, and you've got three, and I really have one child. I have three kids, but two of them are adults, and you're on your own. Pay for your own money. And I think my son Quest actually went last night, according to his IG feed.
Oh, nice.
He was rocking an A's hat. Good. And, you know, having a little bit of an emotional farewell to the A's leaving. But you mentioned it, like kids in Oakland and Hayward and Fremont and Union City, shout out the Goo, let alone, you know, out where I am in Orinda, Moraga, and Lafayette and Antioch and Pittsburgh and Brentwood, and those people who, okay, you're 40 minutes from Oakland, you're an hour and 20 in a bridge away, and so it's no longer going to be an option.
It becomes increasingly difficult at a minimum, yes, and by the way, if your heart's not in it, you're definitely not going to do it.
Yeah, good point. Until
you're 55 years old or something, you're not going to just be like, all right, nah, I love the Giants. All right, kids, let me teach you how to be a Giants fan. All right, Dad, who's your favorite player? Well, I don't even know who's on the team.
Like, Matt Chapman.
Exactly.
Yeah,
it's tough. And, you know, I'm just a stupid man. So if I'm sitting here going, all right, I got to plan something for the kids, it's the first place my mind goes, right? Just a couple weeks ago, like the backflips that I did in order to try to find a way to get the whole group into the Niner Jet game was significant. But there's a reason for that. Like, was a night we're never going to forget.
Exactly. Those things matter.
Yeah.
There's always museums and zoos and aquariums that I also love.
Yeah, zoos and aquariums are great.
Wonderful.
I do think museums are overrated. Because the majority of us go in there because we feel like we're supposed to like what's happening in there, but we don't even really know.
You need to do a little bit more homework pre-museum.
I went to France. I'm looking at the Louvre. I'm like, yeah, beautiful.
We've had this conversation.
Let's go to Jimmy in Fremont. Hi, Jimmy. What's good?
Fellas, what's going on?
Thanks for calling.
Hey. First of all, my emotions are all over the place. Sorry if I get a little away from stuff.
But, all good. Floor is yours.
You know, I was thinking this morning, you know, like the last time I really cried, and that was probably when the birth of my children. And I said, not that I was bawling crying today, but I got a little teary-eyed, no doubt about thinking about today. And I started really trying to think, why am I getting carried up? Why? And it came back to me so easily. You know, I can remember like it was yesterday. I was in seventh grade. We were playing baseball. I met my best friend, my best man. I remember his dad worked at Security Pacific in Oakland, downtown Oakland, and this guy would get killer seats. And let me just back it up a little bit. A kid from Fremont, my dad and mom were hard workers. My dad worked at Caterpillar for years. Just blue collar people. They weren't exactly all into sports, right? I was. I was the one that came into sports. So my buddy's dad takes us to the A's game, and this might have been one of my first A's games, man. And we get seats behind home plate. Can you imagine a kid? I don't even know if I've ever sat at those seats before illegally at the A's game. I've sat there plenty of times illegally, but you know, those kind of memories, they will never, ever be able to sell or move, right? Those things are with me. That the times when I'd go to the A's games, jump on BART from Fremont, right? After the game, listen to me. After the game, we would walk from the Coliseum to the Hyatt or something like that on Hagenberger to try to run down players, right? I can remember this. We'd hit an elevator. The elevator door opens. It's Kent Herbeck. We're like, Mr. Herbeck, can we have an autograph? Come here. He said, you guys ain't supposed to be here. Get out of here, right? And we're like, oh, God. So we take another elevator. The elevator opens. It's Kirby freaking
Bucket. Yeah, it is. Rest in peace.
Totally different. Totally different. Signs us all autographs. I mean, it's just those kind of days, you know? I remember Mike Davis had a, he was really into religion, gave us a tape, a religious tape with his autograph on it. Just the weird little things like that,
love
man.
It. Yeah.
And it's a sad time. It's a good time. If you know an A's fan, give him a hug. Please, give him a hug today.
And well
thanks,
put.
Guys, for this.
Thank you.
Jimmy, thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Jimmy had me thinking about one of the things we would do at that time, which would be go to Malibu Grand Prix before the game, because Malibu Grand Prix was where the dirt lot is now. And so you get there early, go to Malibu Grand Prix, play a little mini golf, bang out some video games, and then go to the A's game after that. It was a combo trip, because you wanted to go to Malibu, and I wasn't old enough to drive the cars, and truth be told, I was too small to drive the...
Yeah, didn't they have the two level? They had the, like, the little Roadrunner ones, the
for
smaller
sure.
ones.
Yeah,
you,
but I,
you could drive those.
There's a height limit, and I was on a budget, but, you know, get me on a pinball machine.
Oh,
I could spend about 15 minutes now, but Malibu Grand Prix out there in the dirt lot, so Jimmy had me feeling all the feels about, yeah, you go down to the Hyatt there on Hagenberger, and you never knew who you'd bump into.
I mean, that's just where my mind keeps going, is that, like, for so many of you, the arc of your leisure life is getting interrupted. That's kind of how I see it, you know? Like, if you're into sports, it's something that gets introduced to you by your parents or an aunt or an uncle or a grandparent or something like that, and you fall in love with it, and it becomes part of your process and what you do when you have free time and you want to relax. And then it becomes something you go do with your buddies or your friends, right? High school and college. And then, right, you move into the other side of life, and to be able to introduce that to the other people in your life and have that leisure experience, you know, I know some of you are like, well, then we're going to Sacramento, and that's great. That's a different experience. You know what I mean? That's going to be like, I don't know how many of you have driven to Sacramento. It depends on what time you leave. That's become a very difficult drive to execute. And so that's just where my mind is. Like, you're right. We've had months, if not years, to hate John Fisher. And that doesn't go away. But I feel for all the people. It's so hard in 2024 to relax. It's so hard to relax. And this is one of the offerings that the world still has for us. And now that goes away, at least in some form, following two other sports teams also going away. And so...
That's the hard one for me, because the Warriors didn't really go away.
Yeah.
They just crossed the bay. And, you know, I don't begrudge Joe Lacob and Peter Guber for wanting a state-of-the-art facility in the city. And I actually, and I'll say this to Joe, and I've said it to his face before, that I thought that his initial plan on the Embarcadero was kind of a joke, and I mocked it at the time, and turned out that that wasn't the site. They were going to do it on where you park, your media parking, on that big pier. That's where they wanted to have the original Warriors facility.
Or the little, what's the little coffee, the little red...
Java House.
Yes,
Red's
Java House. Yep.
They were going to do it right there, but where they put it is so much better, and I don't begrudge him for that, because the arena is beautiful, and it's still accessible to people in the Bay Area. The Raiders, whatever. You left once, you left again, and it hurt the second time maybe more than the first time, because the first time it did feel like, you know, just a trial separation. The second one feels a little bit more permanent with their new building. But this one hurts even more because there's 81 of these, and it was the last real bastion of affordable entertainment, Mark, because you mentioned it. Like, go ahead and take your family of four to a Warrior game. that's going to be a grand.
Yep.
And take him to the Niner game, and I don't even know what that cost you, but probably north of a grand for the four of you to go to a Niner game. The A's, you could get in there. There was Dollar Wednesday and Free Parking Tuesday and, you know, Dollar Dogs, and you could, like, pick and pop and make it work for a family on a tight budget.
You could do it like we used to do it in high school. You could get out of school and not even think of it until 4 o'clock.
Right.
And end up in the stands at 6. Like, that's the beauty of baseball. And I love your analogy, too. You're right. I mean, the Warriors left, but they're still in the area. The Raiders weren't even someone for a lot of you. You were barely dating them. Like, you know what I mean? You're barely dating them.
But, like, you were probably 9 years old when they left the first time? Yeah. 84,
well,
I think?
Well, that's the back-forth nature of it. Like, right, that's right. It's almost, it doesn't have the feeling of a true relationship. And the Warriors are a relationship, but all they did was ask you to adjust the relationship, and I'm not saying that that's a small thing, but that's less of a thing than this. This is a flat-up marriage that's getting divorced, and so bigger deal than the other two. Sam in Lafayette, thank you for calling. Sam, hi.
Hey, Willard, Dave, thanks for taking my call. You know, for me, I'm 38. One of my best memories is going up and meeting Bill King in his booth with my dad in the late 90s with Giambi, and you know, for me, it's a pride thing. You know, I've stuck true to the A's. You know, Dibs, you talk about rocking your A's hat with your son. I did the same thing today, and it's probably the last day I'm going to do it. You know, it's just hard for me to know that my daughter, who's not even 3 yet, is not going to go to an A's game, and now I have to, like, you know, based in the East Bay, I have to go to the Giants to have a baseball experience, and it just hurts. You know, it really sucks. Today, it kind of hit me harder than, you know, before. I didn't really realize, like, what it would feel like until today. But, you know, I'm sad, and I just am pissed at the ownership for not really caring when I've cared my whole life. I was a catcher growing up playing baseball, and they are my team. And now it's like I'm not going to support them in Sacramento or Vegas. You know, for me, it's kind of an end of an era, and I hate to see it go. But, I really appreciate you guys, you know, talking every day. I listen to you. Gibbs, I was a morning guy when you're on in the morning, and Willard, it's nice to have you come on board because you're really the main station I listen to in the afternoon. And I just want to call in and say that it's more for me a pride thing because I've stayed true to them when I know the ownership wasn't in it like I was, and now I'm not going to have those memories like I did with my dad growing up. And it just really, really hits today that it's kind of over.
Sam, thanks.
Yeah.
I mean, the other thing I think about, and you've said this a number of times, and again, I know I sound like milk and cookie when I say this, but professional sports is so beloved that it's one of the few businesses where the owners don't really have to think of their customers. And I hate that. I hate how much they've got us because our emotions are tied to their product. It's just like I said about any other, you know what I mean? If your favorite item is discontinued at the grocery store, you get over it. If your favorite restaurant closed in COVID, that stinks, but you're probably not going to lose sleep.
You're still going to eat.
You're going to go somewhere else and find a different burger. But this is different, and our hearts are so attached to it that it makes us vulnerable to be abused, and then that's exactly what many of the owners do. And you think about it, like, there's so much power in that. And the customer's thought, the only times that the customer's thought really, really matters is if somehow you can build class action behavior to where you're just like, we're not going. We're not going. And in this particular case, that actually helped. That helped the owner do exactly what he was trying to do. But if he were trying to stay and you're like, we're not going, that's the only way you can affect change. You watched it with the Dodgers with Frank McCourt. And they're just like, we're not supporting this joker. And he sold the team, you know? Or if you get a Donald Sterling that does something racist and it's caught.
Daniel Snyder, same thing.
Exactly. Then you've got, but outside of that, like, it's just too vulnerable of a position because we care so much that they can just unilaterally charge whatever they want, go wherever they want, and there's just no damn penalty.
And the penalty is that he still makes money in the MLB system. And I don't want to make this about Fisher hate because I'm already so over that. But you look at the attendance figures that they've had the last 4 years, and they've barely crested 10,000 fans a game. And at the same time, the payroll that they've paid is basically Blake Snell plus Matt Chapman. About $50 million is their total payroll over the last 3 years. So John Fisher's had no interest in making money through the turnstile because he's not spending money on the product. And meanwhile, this asset, if he were to sell it, and my dream involves Joe Lacob,
sure,
and a purchase, and everybody's dream is the same, and then they stay, that team probably goes for $2 billion, even though you need a new stadium, and the franchise is mostly not very competitive. So John Fisher has no motivation to do anything other than, like you said, it was a shell game of Howard Terminal, you know, we're locking in, and I'm going to point the finger at, you know, Mayor Tao. And before that, I don't know if you remember Jean Kwan in Kwanaseum City, where she wanted to have him build at the Coliseum site and all the rest of it. It's just been more than a decade of him trying to do exactly what he's doing. But today it just hits home how sad the whole thing is.
We're expecting a lot of these. This is our first. We got a call from inside the building.
Inside.
Yeah. Ruben is at the second deck of the Collie right now and is on Willard and Dibs. Hi, Ruben. What's going on?
Hey, Sonny. Hey, Guru. How's it going?
It's going good, Ruben.
It's going so well that we've changed our names to Willard and Dibs.
Ruben, I'm mad that they're leaving.
Go ahead.
Hey, how's it going, man? Hey, Guru, I've been listening to you since we first started with Zachariah back in the day. I'm a first-time caller.
You sure are.
I'm from San Jose. I'm in the second deck. I'm in the game. I'm at the game. Second deck. It's the bottom of the eighth, man. I'm just calling to tell you guys, you know, it hurts right now. It really hurts right now. Just watching art and Robbie and getting that childhood ripped out of me right now. I'm just calling to tell you guys, you know, it's different. It's different over here. It's different in the stadium. Coming in here and seeing everyone show up and just getting I'm just trying to get my thoughts.
We got you, Ruben. We got you.
Man.
Ruben, how would you describe all of the other fans in that building today?
Yeah, hello.
Yeah. Ruben, thanks. I don't know if he can hear us.
Hang in there, Ruben.
I don't know if he can hear us. I feel like I aged during that phone call just a little bit.
I feel like I got more popular. I feel like I got more liked.
Well,
more beloved.
Ruben was actually perfect. He was today. He was a full range of emotions.
Yeah. First-time caller, first-time listener.
Might be last-time caller, too. I don't know.
It is funny.
I don't know. Or maybe he's had a few, which I would bet. I did hear that beer is, like, as of an hour ago, beer's running out. So I don't think anybody went out there to have water today.
Right.
Maybe a few.
I doubt it. You're talking about 46,000 fans, and I got some early reports from the parking lot and the tailgate, which was very, very excited, full tailgate, and it's good. And I had conflicting emotions about going out versus not going out because I don't want to give him another penny, and I haven't been in 5 years. But the vibes at that park today are on about a million.